Hi there. How is the weather treating you wherever you are? I must say the weather is pretty pleasing here. We had terrible hangover, cloudy, muggy weather for a few days, and then yesterday night it rained. So now it's back to sunny. So you're not tuning in to the 81st episode of the Audible Weed Walk podcast. This is Nina welcoming you from a cooler Oroville. Now, for those of you who do not know what a KISS technique is, which I have put it in the title, and before you think and assume something exotic, let me expand that for you. I am not a big fan of acronyms, but this one stuck to me since a professor had mentioned to our class years back. KISS refers to keep it simple, stupid. This mantra I have found to be an excellent reminder when things get too complicated, a method too cumbersome. You have to step back and think, come on. To make it work, there has to be something simple. I must be overlooking. So, what is a simple diet technique for health? Upfront, it seems complicated, right? With so many diet options. Actually, preparing for this podcast, I had found some unusual ones, the names of which I had never even heard of before. Then I found that a good housekeeping magazine had consulted some registered dietitian in 2021 and came up with the best diets for various purposes. That was helpful and also interesting for me to then follow up independently. According to that magazine, the best overall diet is a Mediterranean diet. Inspired by the diet of the people living around the Mediterranean Sea, it is primarily a plant-based diet, though it is not vegetarian or vegan, but has mostly whole grains, vegetables, legumes, fruits, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices, etc. It is actually very similar to what is designated as the most promising diet, which is the Nordic diet. Both include plenty of freshwater fish, root vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, and limit the consumption of red meat, dairy, sugars, and processed food. The main difference in Nordic diet and the Mediterranean diet is that the Nordic diet promotes rapeseed oil, which is also known as canola oil, instead of olive oil, which is the primary oil that is used in the Mediterranean diet. Then they have designated DASH diet for heart health. Honestly, I had no clue what DASH meant. Turned out DASH is an acronym. It stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. It is a diet designated to help treat or prevent high blood pressure, which also causes hypertension. The DASH diet includes foods that are rich in potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Remember, these are micronutrients available in many of our local foods, especially seasonally weedy greens. Those particular micronutrients help control blood pressure. Simultaneously, DASH limits a food that are high in sodium, saturated fat, and added sugar. If you realize, other than slight emphasis on some micronutrients or a certain oil, they are till now, whichever diet I had mentioned, they are pretty much similar to each other. I have a few more to go. Volumetrics diet. Apparently, this is the best one to lose weight. What is it? When you remove the frills around the write-ups, you will find the volumetric diet promotes high nutrient-dense food like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and low-fat dairy, and seeks to avoid lower intake of high-energy-dense food. High-energy-dense food is, would be, red meat and things like that, and also unhealthy fats or sugars. Honestly, it didn't seem a whole lot different from the other diets, except that I found that there is an emphasis on perhaps to eat more hydrated food like soups. Otherwise, following all the do's and don'ts of the other diets, it's pretty much the same. Then the list included the best sustainable diet. Sustainable does not mean more environment friendly, but sustainable means that the one which one can stick to for a longer time. I realized reading about that perhaps I am a flexitarian. So what is it? If you are a flexitarian in your diet, you are primarily focusing on plant-based food, but with small amounts of mindfully chosen animal products. You can include, that is, otherwise, mostly vegan and occasionally vegetarian and sometimes omnivore. So that's a flexitarian. Now that we have looked at the dietitian recommended diets, we realize, of course, that they do not vary much from each other. They have some things in common: eating whole grains instead of processed food, eating cold-pressed oil instead of super refined ones, eating legumes, nuts, and greens that are rich in protein and micronutrients, and cutting out on the refined sugar and minimizing salt. But now let's look at our own situation. Do you think that in India it would be healthy for you or the planet if we all stick to Mediterranean diet that needs extra virgin olive oil, or even the Nordic diet for the matter that focuses on rapeseed oil? Rapeseeds can grow in India more easily than olive oil, but still, a healthy diet for us individuals cannot be healthy if it is also not healthy for the planet. If I am in India making my regular meal based on olive oil, I will be adding to the food miles in transportation and importing the oil, and causing much distress at the source country where the oil is primarily, produced as a monoculture. And also missing out on all the local good nourishing oils and fat sources. Most of the olive oils in India comes from Spain and a little bit from Italy. Can that be very healthy when we know the diversity within and amongst us is our greatest strength and the source of resilience? Moreover, we are in a tropical country. So much of diversity we have in oil, in grains and nuts. We have to celebrate diversity. Remember, we need two primary macronutrients in our diet: protein and fat. It is possible to get rid of carbohydrates, but can consciously it is you know almost it is impossible to get rid of carbohydrate, but we can consciously reduce it by taking unpolished millets or unpolished local rice and wheat. Unpolished is the key. Most millets like jowar or cholam, ragi, bajra or kodo, thinai or foxtail millet, etc., have quite a bit of protein and micronutrients as well. So when we cook them unpolished, not polished grain or made into cookies with added processed food, as is. Those who do physical work and children who are growing, they need some carbohydrates, higher amount of carbohydrates also. Otherwise, as I had mentioned in my last podcast, the liver itself can process fats to make glucose that gives us enough energy. So, of the three macronutrients, protein, fat, and carb, the last one is really not essential. For protein, one has to be careful. A protein has a chain of amino acids. Protein is a chain of amino acids connected to each other. If you can imagine, it's more like a garland. There are many amino acids, 20 plus, but 9 of them are considered essential. I'm not boring you with the names of those, but some say that lysine is the rarest in the vegetarian or vegan diet. But if you really look into it, lysine is present in fennel seeds, dehydrated banana, dehydrated apricots, fresh avocados, etc. Same with the others. In reading all about this, I really like a comment by somebody called David Jordan. He writes, if one is basing their diet heavily on one plant food, for example, soy or a certain kind of legume, one would like likely to become deficient in one or more amino acids. It's recognized by the nutritional science today that if a vegetarian eats a variety of plant food, one is unlikely to become deficient in any specific amino acids because of the variety of food will provide all amino acids in sufficient amounts. I again emphasize on the variety, which is diversity. No, we do not need blueberries, strawberries, and olive oils in our diet. But good to have them too, why not? If locally and sustainably grown, better, but occasionally, even if it is coming from outside. We need to focus on the many, not all at once. Try not to put 20 greens in your salad or soup. 5 to 6 is enough. Sometimes maybe 15. For nuts, we do not need almonds or even cashews. Pumpkin seeds, watermelon, cucumber seeds are good too. And again, they add to the diversity. In discussing diet, I hear that mostly vegans, vegetarians risk amino acid deficiency. It is not true at all. This happens when a diet is heavily depending on few items like potatoes, certain kind of fruits, including junk food. David Jordan echoes my opinion. Eat a variety of plant food and you should be fine. What then I thought will be the simplest food one can take that is wholesome with variety incorporated. It will give enough macronutrients and to our weedy seasonal and local greens and local and seasonal fruits that can provide the necessary micronutrients like iron, calcium, magnesium, potassium, etc. Each time I ask this question, I arrive at a Hindi song from the yesteryears, Dal Roti Khao Prabhu Ka Guna Gao, which translates to eat roti with lentils and praise the Lord. A perfect kiss technique. Yes, rice and dal or roti and dal can be the near complete food complemented with seasonal greens and good fat like good cold pressed local milled oil or peanuts or some other nuts. That will be wholesome. But dal varieties need to change or mix, and rice or roti needs to be made with whole unprocessed grains and millets. Peanuts, sesame, mustard, all can provide ample healthy fat depending on where we are located. Having said that, it is important to recognize that there is no one diet fits all. It is understood that plant-based diets are healthier for the self and the planet, and yet even that is not practical for everybody. If we take dal and rice, the quantity and the variety of lentils that one should take may not be affordable to all. So, non-plant sources such as meat, fish, eggs may remain more essential for many in getting enough of all amino acids than, say, other plant-based but vegetarian food like milk, curd and honey. Food isms are good, but they also need to realize that one option seldom suits everybody and should not, right? We are here to celebrate diversity. Also, if one option is truly sustainable, it needs to honor not just diversity, it needs to be ecologically friendly, socially just, and culturally conducive. We want people to find their own healthy and sustainable diet. That would be awesome, don't you think so? I have not focused but highlighted in a few times that the role of wild, weedy, uncultivated green as a source of nutrition and micronutrient in all this. Don't miss that. Now let me quickly talk about weed walk. As you know, I have stopped the edible weed walk for the season, but during summer, when we get some good rains, I always get back to weed walk, you know, just a special one once or twice. So I will have a weed walk on Saturday, 21st May. You will find the announcement for it in my Insta, Facebook, or of course in our news and notes in Auronet. Sign up if you are interested. People do ask me why there is a contribution requirement. The walk itself is offered for free. Any contribution that is requested since only 2022, goes to the Edible Weed Walk project that is building up towards making more relevant resources available and accessible to all. Anyone can contribute, even if you are not coming for the weed walk. Now, the podcast comes with a QR code. Contribution in Indian rupees is possible by simply scanning and donating. But these are something, if you want to know more, you can write at theedibleweedwalk@gmail.com. That is all for now. I would like to hear about your own special diet that you have arrived at. Write to me and see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.